The text verses for the sermon this morning comes from verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. If there's one thing we do not like doing at all, then it's to forget all differences and fights and focus on the present while looking into the future. It seems as whenever a dispute occurs between couples, the past is always right at hand to ignite the fire. It also happens when we argue with our children, our grandchildren, our brothers, our sisters, our family members, and even our friends. We are known for embracing the past like we hold on to a wound. We often refer to the past whenever the situation arises without taking in consideration the context or that things has moved on. It seems as we use the past as a stick to hit someone or to hurt people. People are so caught up by their past, they can't live in the present or see the future. We hear so many times the stories of people that suffered abuse or addiction. We even read it in the letters of people who committed suicide. More and more children fall victim of neglect, which will scar them for the rest of their lives. And I'm sure there must be someone sitting in this church this morning who wants to forget their past or wants to deny something that has happened in their past, or someone that is struggling to live in the present because of this cloud that hangs over you and your existence. How do we forget the former things and realize the present reality while looking into the future? The answer is simple. We must trust God with our past, our present and future, just like the Judeans once did a long time ago in the Old Testament. We must ask God for His help to find meaning of our past, so that we can shape our present and look into the future, just like these people did also a long time ago. And we read about this morning because our reading reflects a very dark period in the history of the southern kingdom, Judah, namely their exile in a foreign country of Babylonia or Chaldea. It all happened in the years from 597 to 581 when the Babylonians came and exiled them to their country. These Babylonians only left a small population behind, which reflected the poorest of the poor. All the rest were taken as captives. And it all happened because these Judeans did not listen to the Lord their God's commandments. They did not listen to His appeal to them. They did not listen when He begged them to come on their knees and say they're sorry. They did not listen to God because they were listening to the fake gods, the idols of their society. And they did not listen when He warned them. They forgot about this God. They forgot what he did to them in the past and how truthful and loyal and loving he has been. They totally lost sight of God's warnings in their present. And as a consequence, they were in exile now with no future to hold on to. And when they were in exile, they were arguing amongst each other because some got used to this exile and they wanted to stay in Babylonia. Others wanted to go back. But they had in their minds, if they go back, they want to find Jerusalem the way they left it. Others had no hope at all. They were like people with no direction at all. And then in our reading, the Lord God speaks to them through his prophet Isaiah. And the prophet says to them, the Lord God will forgive you. He will give you a future. He will demonstrate his power and his almightiness. He will let you return to your home country, Judah. He will break the power of the Babylonians. He will provide in your every need. He will give you water as you pass through the Syrian desert. Just as I've provided to all the animals in the desert, I will do the same to you. But you must repent. You must part from your sinful ways. I do not think the Judeans was really very hopeful when they heard this prophecy. I think a lot of them thought there's no way they will ever return to their homeland. After all, the Babylonians is a world power to be reckoned with. Luckily, after some years, these Judeans realized their mistake. They repented. They went on their knees. And we can see in the pages of history that it all happened just as God promised them. Because in the year 539, Cyrus of Persia overpowered Babylonia. Yes, and he allowed the Judeans to return to their homeland. He even helped them to rebuild their temple in Jerusalem. God's words became true. So what does this text say to us this morning? Well, as I just said, God did not make promises in vain. He was truthful to his word. He gave them water in the desert. He was there for them. But just as he provided for them, he provides in our every need of every day. Because he gave us the living water in Jesus Christ. He gave us an oasis in our deserts of despair, pain, and suffering. He changed our futures and shaped our present realities. He wiped away all our sins and transgressions. He gave us a new past, a new present, and a new future in Jesus Christ. And daily, he still provides through his Holy Spirit every moment of every day. And Easter is all about God who changed our lives forever and ever. It's about his almighty power which could allow streams of grace to flow over us as sinful beings. It's about God who allowed a cross to be erected in the wasteland to save us all from sin, death, and hell. Yes, God forgot all our former sins. He gave us the opportunity to live in the present with renewed faith, love, and hope. He made it possible for you and me to break with our sinful past and live a meaningful life in the present. He gave you and me the means to love Him, to love ourselves and our neighbors. He gave us direction towards a new future to be forever with Him. So I guess this Easter we have to again focus on the promises of God. If there is an event in our past that hinders us to live in a relationship with God, we must take the time now, go to God and give it to Him. Let Him tear it up and help you to forget this. If there's a shadow in your present day reality that you struggle with, if there's anything that hinders you to pray to God openly and tell Him the things that really hurt you, take the time this Easter and pray to God that He will help you. Yes, this Easter, we must ask God to help us so that we can live in the present with joy, with faith, and yes, hope for the future. And we must also be listeners to our fellow brothers and sisters. We must listen when our fellow brothers and sisters struggles with their present or their past. We must help them. We must help them to give it to God and help them so that they can see they have a future with God. God will help them just as He has helped the Judeans. I do not say the past does not exist, but the past is important as it shapes our present and future. Lessons need to be learned, but we also need to review these lessons in the light and in the context of our present day reality. If we do not live in the present and only in the past, we are like passengers on a flight to nowhere. If we only live in the future, we can't say that we are in tune with our present day realities. We must listen to the warnings and the consequences of this attitude, not only in the Bible, we also find it in the so-called national anthem of Scotland, when we sing, "Those days are past now, and in the past they must remain. But we can still rise now and be the nation again." Why is it important that we take what is good from the past, focus on the present while looking into the future? Well, if we do not know our past, if we do not know and realize God's dealings and working in it, how on earth will we know or understand God's dealings with us in our present or in our future? We can hold on to the past and forget the present. We can live only in the present with no sense of tomorrow. And yes, we can live only in the future with no sense of a past or a present. Maybe this time has come that we as followers of Christ show the world the present reality that God changed our lives forever and ever. May we go from this place and show the world through our actions that God has wiped away all our sins in the way we do not judge others, by loving the most despised, by deeds of forgiveness, by helping those who have a terrible past to find meaning in the present with God's help, and by proclaiming the good news that God has indeed gave us in Christ a new way of living. May we show the world through our actions of forgiveness and love that we are different. Amen.